For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Saturday evening service of April the 6th, 1996, of the Passover Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Colonel Speed Wilson is the speaker for the evening.
Here's that 66. You were the chairman of it, and that's where we first met you officially. I was there in the capacity of recording the meetings, and Irma was there running a book table, just like she is here for the full gospel businessmen. And then over the years, why, we've crossed paths many times and ministered together. And he's been ministering here for 10 years or
something
like that. And we have appreciated the ministry that the Lord has given him. And we agree with what the Lord has shown him in the areas of one world government and the United Nations and all of these things. That's coming to pass, which is literally just a fulfillment of Revelations and the book of Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Colonel Wilson is a Marine colonel retired. He was a fighter pilot, a test pilot, and a commander of the amphibious forces in Vietnam. Was 7 years in the Pentagon under five presidents, I believe you served under five presidents, and he's a knowledgeable man, and he can back up what he tells you. And it's not hearsay, because he can back it up with facts. And it's an honor and a privilege to have him come and not only speak to us here, but to be a member of the board of the Lake Hamilton Bible Campground and to be affiliated with us and to help us with our problems that arise here from time to time, which we need his advice and Dr. Knowles and Jack Harris's for the situations in running an operation or taking care of a place like this. Why, it's not something you want to take on and be responsible for just by yourself without some other guidance as well.
Right.
Colonel Speed, Brother Praise Wilson.
Thank you, Glenn. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Before we get started, many of you have asked about the two-hour talk show, the radio that I was on the other day here, and it was... It got pretty interesting. I was rather disappointed. Most everybody that was calling was agreeing. And I was sort of praying that somebody would call that didn't agree. And sure enough, they did. And so that was pretty good. And I've been told the tape is available here. You can get that tape if you're interested in the tape. It was 2 hours of a talk show. I've been on a lot of those. And... always enjoy them. And first time you get there, though, you sit down and you think, my goodness, 2 hours. But, boy, it goes real quick, particularly when you get nasty phone calls. But but that's really no big deal. That's if there wasn't some disagreement, there wouldn't be much going on. Well, first off, I want you to instill a little interest in what we're going to talk about. Now, I've given messages here on prophecy, some 13 of them, I think. The first one being knowing the times and seasons, and you won't find anything in the Bible that says you're not to know if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only those that don't that, you know, and those who choose to be ignorant. You can be ignorant if you want to, but and it certainly relieves you of a lot of study if you just want to be ignorant. But I don't, because I found in the Marine... I found in the Marine Corps that ignorance will kill you. In fact, being a test pilot, we had a saying, what you don't know won't hurt you, it'll kill you. I had stickers made to put right in the middle of the instrument panel on the jets that said, please engage brain before starting the engine. Well, they're one of the greatest signs that's repeated in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, by the Lord Jesus Christ, is the first thing he said when they asked him, when are these going to happen? These things going to happen? He started off by saying, let no one deceive you by any means. And then he repeats it again. There will be many false prophets and many coming in my name and all of that sort of thing. So by that sign alone, we could say that we're in the end times, because, boy, there's a bunch of them. How about the temples to be renovated in Jerusalem? That's a bunch of garbage. It isn't going to happen. They don't even know the difference. If you'd get the Greek text, they'd find out it's the naos in 2 Thessalonians. What know you not that ye are the naos, the temple? Hieron is the one of brick and mortar. We go into great detail of that. And if the Antichrist sits in that temple and rules in that temple, well, if the temple isn't going to be rebuilt, he has a hard time sitting in it. But you hear all of that stuff. And the 70th week, the last week of Daniel chapter 9, is all future. Forget it. Jesus fulfilled every bit of it except the last 3.5 years, and that was fulfilled when Philip went to Samaria and preached the gospel. Remember, Jesus said, preach the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So they did that, and that fulfilled the last 3.5 years. And the Antichrist makes a 7-year treaty with Israel. Forget it, not so. And the 7 years of great tribulation, that's garbage also. 7 is never used as tribulation. The number for tribulation predominant in the Bible is 40. And if you think of that, you know it. And that the European community, which European unity they call it now, the 1st January 1993, is the old Roman Empire. 'Tis not. The world is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And the conspirators that we'll be talking about, Henry Kissinger particularly, divided the world into 10 regions, according to Revelation 17:12. And then it says those 10 rulers had no power except the beast or the beast system gives them. Then, of course, in Revelation 17:10, you find that there are 10 rulers who have, excuse me, 7 rulers who have great power. Well, that's the group of 7. They meet every year, the G7. See, if you believe there's going to be a rapture, you're going to miss all these things that are being fulfilled, because all of this stuff is supposed to be fulfilled after you've been raptured out. And that's the biggest lie of the end time. There isn't a single thing in the Bible to establish that. Now, they do base the great flyaway escape on 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and following. That's the only scripture they have, and they grossly distort that just like Peter said they would. 2 Peter 3:16, and Peter knew Paul. They had a little problem. And Peter writes, the letters of Paul contain some things which are hard to understand, and the ignorant and unstable distort them to their own destruction. Those are not nice words. Well, let's see what Jesus had to say about the rapture. Well, very interesting. For 12 years now, I've offered $10,000 to anybody that could show me. Of course, you've got to recognize the word rapture doesn't appear in any Bible in any language. It's only in your footnotes. And this is the last chapter of a book I'll show you in a minute. It says, the following scriptures state clearly, requiring no interpretation, there will be no rapture, the physical removal of biblical Christians from the world or earth to heaven. I will pay $10,000 to anyone or any group who will list and quote an equal number of scriptures that state as clearly there will be a rapture. Now, when Jesus prays, do you think his prayers are going to be answered? Well, look what he's praying. John 17, verse 15 and 20. Father, I pray that you do not take the believers out of the world. Well, if Jesus is praying, don't take them out of the world, what do you think your chances of getting out? But he says, keep them from the evil one. So if he's praying you're going to be kept, you're going to be kept. There are a whole bunch like that. And then, of course, the rapture people of as in the days of Noah, they get the wrong people. It was the wicked that were going to be destroyed. You know, one is in the bed and one was taken, the other one's left. We find in Genesis 7:23 that taken is the same as destroyed. And it's the wicked that were destroyed in the days of Noah, as in Lot. And here's some more, just a few. Skip a bunch. Psalm 145, verse 20. The Lord preserves all them that love him, but the wicked he will destroy. Psalm 125, verse 1. They that trust the Lord are like Mount Zion. They can never be removed, but remain in the earth forever. Proverbs 10:30. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked will not inherit the earth. Proverbs 2:21 and 22. For the upright shall dwell in the earth, and the perfect shall remain in it. Remain is the opposite of depart. Remain in it. That's Thessalonians says they're going to remain too. They ain't going nowhere. They're alive and remain. And but the wicked shall be cut off or destroyed from the earth, and the transgressor will be rooted out of it. And then, of course, I devote a whole chapter to 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and following. And then I conclude after 16 scriptures like that in the last chapter, I say this. If, after reading this book, you cannot meet my $10,000 challenge, and you still believe there will be a flyaway escape to heaven rapture, you should line out all of these scriptures in your Bible as a reminder that you've added to and taken from the Word of God. And, of course, I tell them to look up Revelation 22:18 and 19, because that's not a nice thing to be doing to God's Word. In the modern vernacular, it ticks him off considerably. Now, there are about 13 tapes back there, and this one will be available, and I've taught on this subject before, but one I'd like to urge you, because there's so much garbage going on about it, is if you can only afford one tape, get the Mark of the Beast. Because so much disinformation on that. Well, now that you know you're not going to fly away, you might be interested in what's going to happen. Well, first off, I guess you'd give a title to this, You and the New World Order, or You and the United Nations. And today being Passover weekend, 1996, I'd like to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, let us say all that should be said and all that You would have said. And above all, Lord, let it be heard the way You would have it heard. And right now we bind the spirit of fear and we loose the spirit of peace and sound mind upon Your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Nine times in the New Testament, God says, I would not have you ignorant. So if you're ignorant, it's by choice. The opposite of ignorant would be knowledgeable. And there's a whole bunch of knowledge scripture. I know you hear Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, but here's some more. Proverbs 11:9, through knowledge the just shall be delivered. Proverbs 28:2. By a man of understanding and knowledge, his state shall be prolonged. Isaiah 5:13, my people are taken into slavery because of the lack of knowledge. Isaiah 53:11, by knowledge shall the righteous servant justify many. 2 Peter 1:5, give diligence and add to your faith virtue and to your virtue knowledge. And Glenn quoted 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved. You know, to gain knowledge does require some effort. And some people really don't like to make the effort. And that's the reason they fall for all these stupid doctrines. You should be Bereans, receive all teaching with open hearts and gladness, but search the scriptures daily to see if these things be true. Don't be duped. Because, as I said before, the dominant sign of the end of this age is deception. Wisdom comes from God, and as I see the scripture, wisdom tells you what to do with the knowledge you got. Ecclesiastes 9:18 says, wisdom is better than any carnal weapon in war. Well, a few of them I could use some wisdom and saved a lot of problems. Well, I'll go back a little bit so you'll know where I'm coming from and why I'm here. June of 1942, I enlisted in the Marine Corps. And I took an oath which said in part, I solemnly swear to defend the Constitution of the United States and to obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me. A year later, June 1943, I took a different oath. I said, I solemnly swear to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign or domestic, so help me God. I did not take an oath to obey the orders of the President of the United States. I thought all of our enemies were foreign, very clear at that time. But in 1968, I came to the realization that our real enemies were within our own borders. They look like us and they talk like us, but they are our enemies. And after fighting 3 years and 3 months, 13 months in each war, World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, and in 14 major campaigns and battles, shot down 3 times in World War II and once in Korea, I became convinced that the sovereignty of this beloved country of ours and our individual freedoms is in greater danger today than it's ever been since there's ever been a United States of America. All by people within our own borders have betrayed us and continue to betray us. And that's the reason I'm here, because this is far more important than any war I ever fought in. And I didn't fight those to lay down and roll over and play dead now. I recognize there was a world conspiracy in 1968 while serving over in the Pentagon, and couldn't understand why McNamara and his overeducated idiots were always doing the wrong thing. One description was, they're educated far beyond their intelligence and they suffered from delusions of grandeur. It was amazing. Well, we want to talk briefly about the four O's, their origin, the objectives, organizations, and operations. Origin, very quickly. Now, if we're going a little fast, because I've given this talk before in greater detail, but I want to get to updating on it, so you can get the other one entitled World Conspiracy. It's a 90-minute tape here. The origin really originated about 800 B.C. in Babylon at the Knights of the Templar, which you know as the Masonic Lodge. And if you want to know about that, there's an excellent book over there. I believe you still have it. I saw it the other day, Guardians of the Grail by Church, J.R. Church. And that began at 1100 A.D., Boy, that's a long time ago that it actually became named the Knights of the Templar. And then there's the Skull and Bones, secret society of Yale. George Bush is a third generation of that group. They're Satan worshipers. They say, well, George Bush says, God bless you. Well, ask him to say Jesus is Lord and see what kind of an answer you get. And then, of course, the Rothschilds and Adam Weishaupt combined witchcraft and Satan worship and formed the Golden Dawn Coven. And that was the first day of May 1776. And we go into detail on that, why they called it the Golden Dawn Coven and so forth. And the branch of that outfit in the United States is the Bohemia Club and near San Francisco. And then a tape entitled Naming the Conspirators, we name them so you can know who they are. We don't have time to do that tonight. Their objectives, very clear, their objectives are so clear. And I don't want to tell you what their objectives are. I want them to tell you what their objectives are. First off, an excellent book entitled The Unseen Hand by Ralph Epperson. He's also written a later book entitled The New World Order. 1968, when I started talking about this, it was pretty lonely, and a lot of people were pretty skeptical. But now, boy, the bookshelves, there's one over here is an excellent one. Larry Bucat, The Illuminati. Pat Robertson's book got to be one of the bestsellers entitled The New World Order, and on. So, but here's what he wrote. There is a huge and extreme powerful conspiracy at work in the world to achieve absolute and brutal rule over the whole human race. This conspiracy is made up of a small group of individuals who control wars, revolutions, and depressions like people control chessmen on a board. These individuals operate in part through secret societies that are created for specific purposes or events. The secret within the secret is they worship Lucifer, Satan, the devil. And if you don't think that's still going on today, let's hear what Albert Pike had to say. He was the last Grand Master of the Knights of the Templar, July 14, 1889, he said, that which we must say to the crowd is, quote, we worship God, but it's the God that one adores without superstition. To you, Sovereign Inspectors General, we say this, that you may repeat it to the brethren of the 32nd degree and higher. The Masonic, and this is what you could say to them, the Masonic religion must be, by all of us initiates of the higher degrees, maintained in the purity of the Luciferian doctrines. The true and pure philosophic religion is the belief in Lucifer is the equal of Adonai. That's one of the true names of God in the Bible of seven, and Jehovah is not a legitimate name for God. It's a distortion like Easter and some of the other things. But Lucifer, the god of light and the god of good, is struggling for humanity against Adonai, the god of darkness and evil. See what they've done? They just flipped the whole thing and made the true God out to be. And the Bible talks about evil becoming good, good shall become evil, and all of that. And one man that was a part of this whole thing to speak with authority was Dr. Carol Quigley. He wrote a book in 1966, 1,384 pages. The name of the book is Tragedy and Hope. And he is a sponsor and a, I guess you'd call a mentor of our current president, who was his professor and recommended him for a Rhodes Scholarship, along with another good Arkansas man, as Fulbright, J. William Fulbright, which the troops usually call Half-Bright. But nonetheless, he knew what he was doing because he was a member of the conspiracy also. And the current president worked in his office for it. But here's what Dr. Quigley has to say. And President Clinton acknowledged this in his acceptance speech for the Democrat nomination for president, that Dr. Quigley was his mentor and he admired him and aspired to his ideas. Quoting, "There does exist and has existed for generations an international Anglophile network that operates to some extent in the ways that the radical right believes the communists work. In fact, this network, which we may identify as the roundtable groups, has no aversion to cooperating with the communists or any other group, and frequently does. I know of the operations of this work because I have been a part of it for over 20 years and was permitted in the last 2 years to examine its papers, even sacred records, secret records. The American branch of this organization, which some will call the Eastern Establishment, has played a very significant role in the history of the United States in this last generation. In New York, it's known as the Consul on Foreign Relations. The aim of this these organizations is nothing less than to create a world system of financial control in the private hands able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the whole world. Freedom of choice will have to be controlled. Freedom of choice will have to be controlled within a very narrow range of alternatives by the fact that every person will be numbered from birth and followed as a number through educational training, required military or other public services, tax contributions." I love that, tax contributions. Did you know you were contributing? Not extortions, contributions. "Their health and medical requirements and final retirement and death benefits." Isn't that great? Well, the Bible says that in Revelation 13, 17 through 18, that you will have to take a mark or a number and you won't be able to buy or sell without it. But with that comes absolute control. That's what these people are after. And we could give many others. I'll skip some of the others, but I do want to read one that is just right on. Dr. Sterling Lacey, 1988. When Pat Robertson was seeking the presidency in this book, he was trying to tell people who George Bush really was and is. He writes, "Valley of Decision" is the name of the book. "Most American Christians have a hard time believing that other Americans could be so evil as to purposely cause wars, wage wars for political and economic purposes, lose wars deliberately, aid the other side while our fighting men are dying on the battlefield, sink our national sovereignty to prepare America to be just another province in a one-world government, promote collectivism and immorality in order to prepare America for the new world order, destroy the family and true faith in God, in order to break down the final barriers of opposition and purposely undermine the most rewarding economic system that working people and poor people have experienced in all the history of mankind, all just to create the chaos needed to stampede an entire nation into demanding their own enslavement. Chaos is coming." J. Edgar Hoover, 1954, says, "The individual person is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous that the person cannot believe that it really exists." Well, how monstrous are they? Well, we heard about wars and all of that sort of thing that they do and plan. and we can go into great detail on those. But around 1982, the World Health Organization created a virus, a bovine mixture that had no known cure, and mixed it with smallpox vaccinations, and that's where the AIDS virus entered in through Africa. Because in about 1962, the Committee of 300 had decided that they had to get rid of 2 billion, B as in Bravo, 2 billion people by the year 2000. So, as we know, some portions of Africa, 40 to 50% of the populations are now HIV positive. And then, of course, the AIDS came from Africa to Haiti, where many of the homosexuals went, and then it spread from the homosexuals into the dope community and all the way through. And so that is pretty monstrous. But they could care less because they think you're a bunch of problems anyhow, and you are as far as they're concerned. Now there are organizations. There are so many, but I'll just run through some of them. The Committee of 300, the Club of Rome, not directly related to the Roman Catholic Church, but the Jesuits do participate. And then the Bilderbergers, you've heard of those. We don't need to go into all the detail, but they meet every year. The Bilderbergers are an international group. They met in 1952 for the first time in a Bilderberg hotel in Vienna, and have been well known ever since, but never reported the news because anybody that is really important is a part of it. And then we come to the Trilateral Commission, created in 1973. Trilateral meaning United States and Canada, now Mexico. And then the European EU they call it. They've changed their names many times. And then the Pacific Rim, Japan. So that represents some 96% of the world's wealth, that triad, that three portions. So they pretty well determine. By the way, Jimmy Carter, Fritz Mondale were charter members of the Trilateral Commission, which was founded by Zbigniew Brzezinski, and he was a professor at Columbia University, and, of course, was funded and headed by David Rockefeller. Consul on Foreign Relations was founded in 1921 and has been headed by the Rockefellers ever since. Their membership seems to be limited to somewhere around 2,000. George Bush, by the end of the first administration of Ronald Reagan, had gotten rid of all the non-conspirators. He got rid of every one of them except Edwin Meese. Edwin Meese stuck it out to the end, but the rest were gone by the first 4 years. So when Bush was elected president, well-known, had once been on the board of directors of the Council of Foreign Relations and, of course, was a charter member of the Trilateral Commission, he already had 360-some CFR trilateralists in his cabinet. But Clinton has gone better than that. Combining CFR trilateral, Bilderberger, and Rhodes Scholar, Clinton has approaching 500 in his cabinet. And that's been going on since 1921. Every president we've had has been a part of this conspiracy except one, Ronald Reagan. But he had to take George Bush to get elected. And Goldwater was not a part of it, and you saw what they did to him. And Patrick Buchanan's the only one that's running that's not on the hook for the whole outfit, but he's sort of out of the race. Maybe not. It's time maybe we have a third party. Remember, you sort of forget that Abraham Lincoln created a third party, and he got elected. There isn't a dime's difference between Democrat and Republican except the right to life plank, and if they take Colin Powell, CFR Powell, who's a baby-killing gun grabber, well, it'll split the Republican wide open, Republican Party, because it'd be because if they take the right to life plank out of the Republican Party, they're just a bunch of Democrats. So, then Rhodes Scholars. Some people say, oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, it's wonderful. Let's see what they say about Rhodes Scholars. What they say, the Rhodes Scholars people. Sir Francis Wiley, first Oxford trustee of the Rhodes estate, Cecil Rhodes, made his fortunes in South Africa, diamonds, and Rhodesia, He was going to be known forever, named a country after himself, Rhodesia. The joke's on him. It's now Zimbabwe. Doesn't sound like Rhodes, does it? He says, "This is not an educational endowment as the ordinary understood. Its purpose is not to give anyone an education he could not otherwise afford, nor to promote loaning, but is to encourage in a rising generation of English-speaking people a particular outlook on the problems of the world and to give them, in fact, a political bias." We call it brainwash. "This idea of using scholarships as an instrument of political purpose came from Rhodes and had taken shape in his will in 1893. But our president was such an outstanding scholar, he never finished the program. He was busy working over in the Soviet Union. And by the way, better than half of his cabinet have never been cleared by the security agents, and they can't be, and he couldn't be secure. He couldn't pass a security test to get a commission in the armed forces with his past record, but he's president. Then here are some other Rhodes scholars you might want to remember. Senator Borden, Oklahoma. Bill Bradley, New Jersey. Richard Lugar, Indiana. Larry Pressler, South Dakota. Paul Sarbanes, Maryland. And Tom McMillan of Maryland. And Bill Clinton being the only one that's ever made it to the presidency. But he's a CFR, Trilateral Bilderberger Rhodes Scholar. And I told people here 2 years before he became president, he would be president because we knew that background. And there are charts available. I regret I didn't bring some of them. There's the charts that show you who they were from Carter, Reagan, Bush, and Clinton. And why you don't hear this in the news media is because most of the people in the news media are members. I don't want to puncture your bumble, but that great conservative George Will is a member of the CFR and Trilateral. And, of course, that great conservative Bill Buckley is a CFR Trilateralist. And Barbara Walters, Tom Brokaw, David Brinkley, and Dan Blather, rather. And Peter Jennings became a Bilderberger their last session. And Catherine Graham, who is the head of Newsweek, Washington Post, and the Associated Press. And the last time they met, last year in June, Nelson Rockefeller told those people of the news media that he was glad they were there, they always had been, and that without their discretion of keeping this from the American people, we could have never been able to accomplish our objectives. But he said, we must move rapidly because the explosion of nationalism is closing our window of opportunity. In other words, people like you begin to wake up. The Danish won't out. The British may not go in. That's the reason they got rid of Margaret Thatcher. She wouldn't go with it. And some of the others are finding it's not a good deal to have somebody else making your decisions as to their interest and on down the line. Now let's get to their operations. By the way, some of their other organizations, the National Council of Churches, World Council of Churches, the National Educational Association, the American Civil Liberties Union, and all the environmental groups, Vice President Al Gore, or better known as Al Gore, is a big New Ager, tree hugger, speckled owl lover, and all the New Age religion. It might be a real shock to you, it's a fact, that there are more people in San Francisco who are members and worship of the New Age religion than the total United States membership of the Assemblies of God. And that's prophesied in the Bible, too, that evil will abound in the last days. Operations. Well, the Federal Reserve is probably one of their most important portions. And some of you don't know much about the Federal Reserve, but it was established in 1913. We've gone into great detail in the past. And the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled that it is a privately owned corporation. It is not federal, has no reserve. They just print money and draw interest on it. Most of the national debt is owned to the corporation that owes the Federal Reserve. Daddy Rothschild, who began this in modern times, wrote in his memoirs, says, give me control of a nation's money and I don't care who makes its laws. In other words, the lawmakers are just going through an exercise in futility because he controls the money. In fact, they've proven if they can only control 10% of a nation's money, they can control a country. Well, Federal Reserve, 23rd of December 1913, a man by the name of Paul Warburg presented the legislation for the Federal Reserve Act, and it was accepted with a very small portion. We've gone into that before of how it all worked out. Now, here are the eight banks that own the Federal Reserve. Rothschild Banks of London and Berlin, Rockefeller Chase Manhattan, which just gobbled up Chemical Bank, making it one of the largest in the output, Warburg Banks of Hamburg and Amsterdam, Kuhn Loeb of New York, Lehman Brothers Bank of New York, Lazarus Brothers Bank of Paris, Israel Milshief, S-E-I-F Bank of Italy, and Goldman Sachs Bank of New York. Our Secretary of Treasury today, Robert Reich, is on the board of directors of Goldman Sachs. He's the Secretary of Treasury. Also CFR Trilateral, so forth. Well, how important is the Federal Reserve? Well, first off, when they want to issue some more money, they buy it from the Treasury Department at about 3 cents a bill. A $100 bill costs the same as a $1 bill. But then they issue it to the banks at face value. And the United States has to buy the money with Treasury notes. And those Treasury notes draw interest, and the interest is payable to the Federal Reserve. In other words, they create money out of thin air and draw interest on it. And they tell you how much interest you should charge on loans. They control how much the banks must have in reserve. And as I just said, they create money out of the thin air and draw interest on the whole thing. The biggest ripoff, absolutely unconstitutional, because Section 4 of the Constitution says Congress reserves unto itself the right to coin money and establish the value thereof, and it cannot be delegated. But as we find as we go along, the Constitution means nothing to these people, and we are no longer a constitutional United States anymore. Henry Ford said in 1945, if the American people knew the corruption of our money system, there'd be a revolution before morning. And, well, there are a lot of other humorists that said about it. The International Monetary Fund, well, the Federal Reserve worked so well, they thought they ought to have an International Federal Reserve. The International Monetary Fund included into the World Bank. Paul Volcker, who was the Assistant Secretary of State for Military Affairs, created it back in that time, around 1950s. And you and I taxpayers put in most of the money, and they loaned it out to countries, and to countries that they know can never pay it back. But they gain control of those countries. Any country that wants to borrow money from the International Monetary Fund has to meet their conditions. The first thing the condition they have to meet is stop the development of nuclear energy, because nuclear energy is so very cheap. It's the most economical, the cleanest, and safest means of generating electricity known to mankind today. But this group owns all the coal mines and oil wells, so they can't afford to have cheap fuel around. And there's no shortage of oil. We've got oil coming out our ears. Well, we've covered that before, too. So it works very well, and they lay down other conditions, and these countries actually surrender their sovereignty to the International Monetary Fund. And if the country can't pay the interest, like Mexico couldn't a while back, Bill Clinton, in violation of the Constitution, in-run to Congress and got $40 billion out of the International Monetary Fund, of which we provided 60% of that. And out of that $50 billion, $30 billion never left the United States. It went to Chase Manhattan Bank, Rockefeller's petty cash operation in New York, to pay interest on the debt that their Chase Manhattan had loaned the Mexicans. And this goes on and on and on and on. And there's a World Conservation Bank, and it worked very well. James Baker III, another real powerful man in the conspiracy, once Secretary of Treasury and Chief of Staff of the White House, all those jobs. And these nations that owed a lot of money to the International Monetary Fund, it was decided that if they would give up many of their natural or virgin lands to a World Conservation Bank, doesn't that sound great, then they would hold it. Well, who owns the World Conservation Bank? Rockefeller Rothschilds. To show you how they do, did you know that the Rockefellers, 80 to 90% of their wealth is outside the United States? You buy a good Japanese TV called Sony. You know what Sony stands for? Standard Oil of New York. Or when there's a while back, the Rockefellers are in trouble because they sold 51% of their interest in Rockefeller Center to the Japanese Mitsubishi. Well, guess who owns Mitsubishi? You guessed it, Rockefeller. He's just taking money out of one pocket and putting it in the other. Because when Japan was defeated and Germany was defeated, all these people moved in and took them over. The same thing has happened to the Soviet Union and its collapse. Federal Reserve has been set up over there. Do you know there are more $100 bills in Russia today than there is in the United States? We get ticked off about the Japanese. No, Britain owns more of the United States than the Japanese, and so do the Dutch. How many Ohioans are here? Any Buckeyes in the group? Standard Oil of New York, Standard Oil Ohio? You don't see that anymore. We see British Petroleum, BP. Do you know what the Gulf War was all about? Kuwait? British Petroleum owns Kuwait. And in England, they even have Q-8 gasoline, Q8. And that's what that was all about. And on. I read a book one time, it says to make the world safe for AT&T. And that's the reason we fight wars. Well, the European community, we've talked about that. And it's a very powerful group coming up. And probably, but now let's get down to the sovereignty of the United States. Let's talk about the United Nations first. Most people didn't understand what George Bush was really saying when he said, when he was trying to push him for the Gulf War thing. He said before the joint session of Congress, this is our opportunity to see the United Nations fulfill the mission established by its founders. Well, maybe you didn't know who its founders were. The board or the committee that established and studied the United Nations in 1945 and created it were 16 communists and 43 members of the Council of Foreign Relations. Alger Hiss and Dexter White. Alger Hiss was the chairman. So, it's a communist Rockefeller organization. And we could go into the fact that these people established communism and to overthrow a democratic government that was forming over there. If you don't believe that, just get a little book entitled The Bolshevik Revolution in Wall Street. And but every president since 1945, by the way, it's unconstitutional because all they did was dust off the old papers for the League of Nations, Woodrow Wilson's group, and Harold House had come up with, which was a sort of an old-time Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski. Both of those people were foreign-born. And both were professors at Columbia University. Eisenhower, being a member of the conspiracy, they made him president of Columbia University for a while so they can make him look like something more than a smiling bald head. But, you ought to ask, I drift off on those. There's so many humorous things about it, like asking General MacArthur what he thought of Eisenhower. He said he was the best clerk I ever had. A clerk would be a corporal or a sergeant. And you ask Eisenhower what he thought of MacArthur. He said, I studied dramatics under him for 3 years. But then they didn't care for each other a whole lot. But they go on and on. But ever since 1945, every president had refused to sign the Human Rights Treaty of the United Nations. Because if that treaty was ever signed by the President of the United States and ratified by the Senate, the United States would cease to be a sovereign nation. Well, they all refused to sign it until it got to James Earl Carter. On the fifth day of October, 1977, Carter signed it. You never heard of it again until George Bush came to town. He submitted it to the Senate. The second day of April, 1992, the Senate approved and ratified that treaty by a voice vote. So that you'll never know who voted for it and who voted against it. If you're interested in it, I have a copy of the treaty. But it's unconstitutional. Back when in 1917, when they tried to establish the League of Nations, you can read it in the Congressional Record. It was very clear it was unconstitutional to enter into such an organization, because constitutions or treaties can only be entered into people contained in a nation with clearly defined borders. Some of you might remember Sam Ervin, senator from one of the Carolinas. He was the head of the White almost made a mistake, not the Whitewater, the Watergate. Watergate was a drop in the bucket compared to what's happening on the other. Nobody was killed in Watergate, and no fortunes were made in Watergate, and no records were destroyed in Watergate. See the difference in the way they're treated. But he signed it, and it was ratified. That's the reason we're seeing our military being transferred to the United Nations. That's the reason Fort Dix and McGuire Air Force Base of New Jersey are now United Nations bases. And Gorbachev, his Gorbachev Foundation at Presidio Island and near San Francisco, across the bay in San Francisco, is Gorbachev's headquarters, and he is supervising the dismantling of the United States military power. An interesting thing is the Gorbachev Foundation was established 6 months before the so-called coup in Russia that overthrew him, which proves that Franklin Delano Roosevelt was right. In national and international affairs, nothing happens by accident. It's all planned. I won't bore you with the details of it because it covers two full newspaper pages. You didn't read about this in the newspapers. The United Nations or the New World Order Constitution, the preamble says this, and listen well. Therefore, the age of nations must end and the era of humanity begin. The governments of nations have decided, in order to separate sovereignties into one government of justice, to which they surrender their arms, to establish this Constitution as a covenant and fundamental law of the Federal Republic of the World. And it goes on. Humanity over nations. That's humanism. The humanists say there is no God. The Bible says the fool has said there is no God. There is no God, and if the problems are to be solved, man has to do it himself without God. Surrender their arms. That is a violation of the Second Amendment of the Bill of Rights. The people have the right to keep and bear arms. The right shall not be infringed on the people to keep and bear arms. I think it's the most stupid thing in the world to be arguing about whether you can carry a concealed weapon or not. You can. The Constitution says you have the right to own and bear. Bear means carry if you hadn't figured it out. And if we let that one go, then the rest of the Bill of Rights have no meaning, because you have no way of defending yourself against the whole thing. By the way, GATT and NAFTA, it was all Henry Kissinger. Anytime Henry Kissinger is for something, it ain't good for you. He says NAFTA and GATT is essential for the new world order. And there are many things we could talk. Let's go, okay, our enemy. And some people say, well, how could such a thing as this go on so long? Well, there is a continuity. God says the continuity in this group of Satan worshipers is Antichrist spirit. First and second epistles of John says that the Antichrist is a spirit. And, of course, as Tommy was talking last night, the book of Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ. You turn on the radio today, you think the book of Revelation is a revelation of the Antichrist. And the word Antichrist doesn't appear anywhere in the book of Revelation. There's a Mr. 666, and if you don't know who he is, get the tape. I have one back there, and I prove it to you mathematically and action-wise. But see, you're not supposed to know that, because you're supposed to have been gone before he shows up. By the way, if you're not with Jesus, you're Antichrist. Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're Antichrist. If you're not with me, you're against me, ain't I? Against. So there's no neutrality. By one spirit, you were translated from the kingdom of the devil into the kingdom of his beloved son. So you can't straddle the fence. ACLU, we've covered that. I'd like to call it the Anti-Christian Liberty Outfit. And the NEA, they deliberately don't want your children to be able to read and write. The National Organization of Women, the Baby Killers, said, we got to stop all this violence outside these women's clinics. They don't call them abortion or murder parlors. Got to stop all this violence. Well, there's nothing compared in violence that's going on with people kneeling on the ground praying and with signs trying to save a life to the violence that's going on inside where they pull a child limb from limb and count the limbs and the partial birth type operation. I don't even want to describe it. 4,000 procedures a day going on with that. Glenn has an excellent paper entitled The Shedding of Innocent Blood and What Happens to Countries Who Do It. And he gave a copy to every senator and congressman in the U.S. Senate. I wrote a letter to one of my senators, John Glenn, and I already knew Mike Wine, he's a pro-lifer, just elected to take Metzenbaum's place. Metzenbaum quit. And he came back. I told him to vote against the bill and to stop this late-term thing. And he wrote back a surprising thing. He said, that's being studied by a Senate committee, and I'll have to wait and see what they recommend before it. I wrote right back at the bottom of his letter and faxed it right back to him with a copy of a detailed graphic picture demonstration of what goes on in the late term. Actually, if the child slips out of the birth canal, in many cases, they still smother it. And the nurses have attested to that. And I said, I'm surprised at you, Senator Glenn. Any doctor will tell you that the vital signs of life is a brain wave and a heartbeat. And after at least 2 weeks, there's a brain wave and a heartbeat. And for you who profess to be a Christian has to wait around and see what some committee has to tell you how to vote, you're a sick man. Well, he wrote back in a nice long letter and he'd changed his position. So it does do some good to write. He didn't do it for me. I hope there were a lot of other folks on it. And now Clinton says he's going to veto it. Well, let him veto it. The Senate has already passed to do away with it. And the House will pass it. And if he vetoes it, that'll be a wonderful opportunity to hold against him a murdering president. We talk about the Holocaust. The Holocaust of Germany is nothing compared to what's going on in the United States. And we sit on our backside and do nothing about it. The shedding of innocent blood. A nation can't exist that does that. One person called in on a talk show in Cleveland and really jacked me up. He says, you're one of those radical religious right people. And my response was, well, if I'm the radical religious right, then you must be a member of the radical atheistic left. He didn't know what I'm talking about. I said, well, in physics, we know that for there are always equal and opposite forces. And he said, he wanted to know, well, who would you consider a radical atheistic left? I said, well, the Attorney General, Janet Reno, and Ted Kennedy, and Metzenbaum, and probably the two people in the White House, the co-presidents, Billary, and they have all the symptoms. Bill Clinton admit that he's more, as a quote I read the other day, that he was more closely related to the Jesuits than to the Baptists. What an admission. Another one of his dumb statements. Almost as dumb as Bob Dole after Patrick Buchanan won the Arizona race on the fact that NAFTA had taken jobs away. And Bob Dole said, I didn't know the jobs and the economy were a problem. Boy, that just tells you how out of touch he is. Don't think Patrick Buchanan didn't use that. Every one of his commercials quoted him on it. He should have had sense enough not to say it, even if he didn't know it. There's not a difference between Clinton and Dole, except that Dole might be more dangerous because he had a Republican Congress to back him up. What we need to do is pack the Congress with more conservative new ones, new senators, and let them do what the young ones are doing up there now. By the way, just in case you're interested, Gebhardt, the minority leader, is a member of the CFR, and Newt Gingrich is also CFR. So that's the reason the Contract for America didn't go very far. It's all just window dressing. Well, they hate you, and they'll always hate you. Jesus told you they would. It says, because they have hated me, they'll hate you also. And they will hate you without cause, so the Lord said. There are many other things we could talk about, but I'd like to wind down, and we'll certainly have some time to for questions and try to answer. One of the biggest things is this thing about weapons and guns. I don't know where these people get their statistics, but Ohio is now considering allowing a concealed carry a concealed weapon. But I would submit to you that even having to register a weapon is an infringement. Because, and it shall not be infringed. And there are a whole group of sheriffs out in the west part of the country that won't go through that stupid thing of going out and investigating records and making people arrest, because they point to the Second Amendment. It's a violation of that. They have the right to keep and bear arms. And they're not bringing those sheriffs before the Supreme Court either, because they don't want it to be tried in the Supreme Court, because the Second Amendment is very clear. How did we ever get so far on some of this stuff? Well, I better take care of the gun bit. I want to read you some things here. 1 million Americans use firearms defensively each year, according to the FBI. Criminologist Gary Cleek says that more than 600,000 defensive uses of guns against criminals each year, but more crimes are prevented by the felon's knowledge that the gun ownership, the criminals will shun homes where they are believed to have a gun. One guy was on TV, a criminal, and he says he gives a wide berth to houses who have a National Rifle Association sticker on the window. So send in your $5 and get yourself one. I like the one that says this house is guarded by Smith and Wesson and a pit bull with AIDS. I lived among a bunch of rednecks in the Virginia mountains, a bunch of hillbillies. Dear, dear, dear people. Dear old six-pack Joe. And they have rifles in their cars and pistols on their hips, and their bumper sticker is, "Good gun control requires a firm grip." And the other one is they harvest lumber down there in the George Washington National Forest and said, if you're hungry and out of a job, eat an ecologist. In both of the states that now permit citizens to carry handguns, the homicide rate has fallen drastically. In Florida, only 16 of the 161,000 concealed weapon permits have had to be revoked. And it says nor does the record substantiate the claim that guns are unsafe in the hands of law-abiding citizens. On the contrary, Jeffrey Snyder, writing in the Journal of Public Interest, and get this, only 2% of the civilian shootings in self-defense situations involved an innocent person mistakenly identified as a criminal. The error rate for the official police is 11%, or five times higher. Better take the guns away from the police. They're more dangerous. And that's no joke if it's the FBI or FBI or the BATF. You know, the FBI now, after they roasted nearly 100 people down in Waco, is now called the Federal Baby Incinerators. And Janet Reno went down there to save the children. Well, I hope she doesn't want to save mine. The highest rate of assaults and all of that is in the cities where they don't allow weapons to be carried, like New York. I think the funniest thing is the mayor of New York, when a young lad from Indiana with his family and was stabbed to death right in the subway with people watching. And the next morning, the first thing the mayor said, boy, this is another case where we got to get those guns out of people's hands. And he was stabbed to death. How about J. Rockefeller IV? He admitted that he has an automatic weapon in his house in the District of Columbia, and automatic weapons have been outlawed since 1934. And Carl Rowan, who was an advocate of taking the guns out of the people, shot a teenager for sneaking in and taking a dip in his swimming pool in the District of Columbia. A bunch of hypocrites. They just don't want you to have them. Well, what's happened to our country since 1962, and what happened in 1962 to cause it? So you might remember, 1962, they took the prayer out of school. By the way, that case was not against prayer in school. The decision was that the state shall not require a specific prayer to be prayed. It was not against voluntary prayer, but it's been distorted like the First Amendment has been distorted to separate. Well, listen to this. 1962, when they took prayer out of school, violent crimes in America increased 550%. Births to unwed mothers are up 400%. Teenage suicide rate has gone 300%. The United States has the highest teenage suicide rate in the world. The divorce rate has increased 400%. SAT scores for high school students have dropped 80 points, 80 points. By the way, you'll be seeing, and I've seen on TV, that we're doing better in schools now because the SAT scores is up. Don't you believe it? They just revamped the test. Right here in this state, they will not give homeschoolers the same test they give the public schoolers because they don't want to be able to compare them. They know how it works out. I want to read you about militias. It's very clear what a militia is. A free people. I want to read you a real radical statement and see if you can guess who said it. A free people ought not only to be armed and disciplined of knowing how to use the weapon, they should have sufficient arms and ammunition to maintain a status of independence from any who might attempt to abuse them, which would include even their own government. Anyone who will trade freedom for security is destined to lose both. Some radical must have said that out in Montana. George Washington said that. John Kennedy said essentially the same thing in his second year. The whole thing. What is a militia? Anybody between the ages of 18 and 60. By the way, over in Switzerland, where everybody has to serve at least 2 or 3 years in the armed forces, and after they've served in the armed forces, they have to keep their uniform and their weapon and ammunition. Guess what? They don't have many home breakings in armies because they know it's in there. And they know how to use them. And as I said before, if they can take the guns away from you, the rest of the Bill of Rights have no meaning. Like being safe in your domain and in your papers, all of those city things. It's just, well, how this control through fear. Everything is absolute control. That's what they're after. That's what Quigley said, remember, that your freedoms of choice have to be within a very narrow range. So that means they'll tell you where to work, where you can go, all that. And right now they're beginning to put devices on cars that will track you, and well, we get all of that in the mark of the beast. One thing, if you don't buy the tape, just remember that God marked and sealed his people 7 times in their forehead before you ever get to Revelation 13:17. And you know what the mark is? It's the Holy Spirit, very clearly. Your name is written. Everyone on the earth will worship the beast except those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's worshiping the beast to get you in trouble, not taking a silly mark. I got a pocket full of plastic cards. Do you think that sends you to hell? Come on. God looks on the heart. He isn't too excited about the outside. But we're getting there, and it's all a part of it. And a lot of people are going to be hurt unnecessarily because they've had this fear instead of them. Well, fear and intimidation. The IRS, the ATF, the Drug Enforcement Agency, the National Police Force that Janet Reno wants, 2,500 of them, and a deployment strike force. All of those things. By the way, as near as we can tell, there's somewhere between 30,000 and 100,000 foreign troops in the United States right now. And Henry Kissinger said that the Americans, one of these days, will welcome the presence of foreign troops to maintain order. Chaos is coming. It's engineered. It's coming just as clearly as the so-called oil shortage was engineered. And it doesn't happen by accident. The Constitution forbids the use of military equipment or people against the population. I think there are somewhere around 10 to 20 detention camps in the United States. Well, who are they built for? No. But what is an occult? Not a occult, a cult, C-U-L-T. Well, here's the CAN, that's the Cult Awareness Network, that put the finger on the Branch Davidians. It says a cult is anyone who believes the Bible is the Word of God, expects the return of Jesus Christ, believes that Bible prophecy is accurate, attends frequent Bible studies, homeschools their children, oh my goodness, and even spank their children, store food, and try to be self-sufficient in all matters, and the last one is owns guns. Well, any government that can't trust its citizens with guns can't be trusted. It's just that simple. And you've heard the old cliche, when guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. Boy, that's proven in D.C. and others, in New York, in L.A., where guns are forbidden, and they have the highest attack rate in the whole country. A lot of military equipment. I was out at Boise, Idaho, about a year ago. Went by the airport. I was surprised to see 7 of the OV-10As. Those are two. It's a twin-engine turboprop, twin-broom observation close air support airplane that we used in Vietnam. But they had no markings on them. They weren't black, but they had no markings on them. Turns out the Treasury Department, the CIA, has 22 of them. What do they want those for? You'll find out. By the way, what's going on out in Montana? I don't know what those people are up to. I don't know what they've said. But I wouldn't believe everything the news media says. And the fact the news media is against them almost makes me for them immediately. Because I know where the news media is coming from. But isn't it interesting, just because those people have made some threats and they really don't like the government and all that sort of thing, they want to blow them away. Well, I can remember in the 1950s they said you couldn't do anything with Communist Party members. They could preach the overthrow of the government, and as long as they didn't try to do it, you couldn't do anything with them. There's nothing criminal about talking. You've heard about freedom of the speech?
Yeah.
Well, it's only practiced by, well, I won't say who, but Christians don't have the right. I like the T-shirt my son has. It says, why be politically correct when you can be right? Another one he likes, because the ecology group around D.C. all have this big picture of the blue earth from outer space, and they write on it, Mother Earth. Well, he has one just like it, except at the bottom it says, my father created your mother. Great. And of course, they've already planned a world religion called, what, Gaia, to replace this. Let's look briefly at Waco and then we'll stop. Waco, a legitimate church, had been there since 1939, never bothered anybody. The Branch Davidians were an offshoot of the Seventh-day Adventist. And as you saw, and some of them, they said that David Koresh claimed to be God. Well, didn't. They edited this trip. If you saw the whole thing, he was being interviewed, and they asked him the question, is it true that you made a 72-year-old woman pregnant? And he laughed, and he said, you must think I'm God. Well, they put took the you must think off, and it came out, I'm God. Now, I've seen on video, and it was presented on the 700 Club, David Farrakhan has actually said, and I've ordered the video, has actually said that the man you call Jesus Christ was the spirit of Elijah, and he was proclaiming the coming of the Messiah, and I am here. I am him. You don't have to look any further. And he won't be locked up. He's violated all sorts of laws, going to Libya, Iraq, Iran, and taking foreign money to influence the political scene in the United States. That's treason. It's almost as bad as George Bush saying that our allegiance must now be transferred to the United Nations. That's treason. In normal times, we've had it. I liked what Patrick Buchanan said, and I worked very hard for him in Ohio. And I hope he hadn't gone away. At least he reached a lot of people and got a lot of people thinking. And he doesn't change. Even the people who don't like him says what he says today, he'll say tomorrow. Amen. He's a man of conviction, and he is a man of determination. And he said, when they took the Bibles out of the schools, can you imagine what our founding fathers would have said? He would have said, lock and load. And he's on the cameras, and he said, now for you liberal people behind the cameras, that's a figure of speech. Because it would distort the whole thing. And they would have. Oh, the stupid statement that our president made, one of them, was, how dare these militiamen say that they love their country and hate the government? He didn't realize he just condemned all of our founding fathers. They loved this country, but they hated the government, King George. And they said, what was it? We worship no king except King Jesus. And that was their battle cry. Well, we sure got a long ways from that, haven't we? And they were fighting over less than a 3% tax. Yeah, wouldn't that have been great? 3% tax, and most of us are paying, I think, all the taxes combined, about 45 to 51%. I'm amazed how many people don't even know what a flat tax is. I was at a group of Christians the other day, and I mentioned how great the flat tax would be. And it turned out that out of the 8 people, 3 of them thought a flat tax was that everybody paid the same thing. Sam Donaldson didn't know the difference on TV. He thought that. No, a flat tax means, and most of the programs are, a family of 4 and making $36,000 a list would pay no tax at all. But anyone over that would pay a flat percentage of whatever was in excess of 36. So the wealthy people would pay a big piece and all of that. And your income tax form would be a 3x5 card. Boy, that would upset a lot of CPAs. And old Henry, if you got a Henry Block concession, you better sell it now. Some modifications. Patrick Buchanan would deduct mortgage on one house, interest on one house, and contributions to charitable organizations. And then whatever that figure turned out to be, that would be what it is. So it would be a great deal, and get away from taxing capital gains, which destroys the ability to establish plants and the other. It takes about $150,000 of capital to create one job. And the Democrats want to take it all away. As they said, the Democrats are for employment. They're just against employers. And by the way, if you vote Democrat, you ought to read their platform one of these times. They're for everything God's against, and they're against everything God's for. So if you're voting for them, God ought to hold you responsible for it. The Branch Davidians, 1987, the McClellan County. The district attorney investigated them for illegal weapons and child abuse and found no problem. And the former sheriff of McClellan County, his name is Jack Harrell, investigated them 3 times on those charges and found nothing wrong. Well, these people moved in and start shooting it up. And David Karish even came to the door and said, don't you people know that there are women and children in here? And they shot at him again, actually hit him. And he went back in. And they fiddled around there and finally torched them after they filled the building with CS gas. We used it in Vietnam. And in a confined place, it's fatal. But in an open field, it just makes the people very sick for a short period short period of time, 4 or 5 hours, and you can go in and sort the good ones from the bad ones and don't have to kill them all. But if you put it in a confined space where there's no air circulation, it's deadly. So all the people in the building were dead and filled with also a combustible ministry. And we've showed the video here where a tank went and punched walls in the wall, and they waited till the day that the wind was up to 30 miles an hour. And then this flamethrower tank punched into the wall, and you can see the flame igniting the whole thing, the building going up, and destroyed all the evidence. And they found no weapons in the building. And Karras told them that via radio, that there were no weapons in the building. All the weapons were at a gun show down in San Antonio. On and on and on. And then, of course, you have the Ruby Ridge, Idaho thing. Boy. A man that had served in the Green Berets, Special Forces, and was so disgusted with what happened in Vietnam that he just didn't want to have anything to do with the human race. They called him a white separatist, hoping that you would believe he was a white supremacist. See, no, he was a white separatist. He just didn't want to be around folks. There's quite a few white separatists in our history, like Daniel Boone. If a town got 50 people, it was too crowded for him, and he'd head for the hills again. So he wasn't very sociable. And so one morning, with no warning, they throw rocks at his dog. The dog starts barking. His 12-year-old son and a neighbor who he was helping build the house down the hill, Harris was his name, ran out to investigate. And as they went out, they shot the dog. The BATF, FBI people shot the dog, killed the dog. The boy, young Sammy, 12 years old, fired in the direction from which the gun came, the shot came, and they shot the boy in the shoulder. He turned to run, and Harris was down the way, and he shot over in that direction. And as the young boy ran away, they shot him in the back and killed him dead. And as Harris ran in the front door, they blew the head off of Weaver's wife, who had an 18-month-old baby in her arms. And for 11 days, her body lay under the table with their 9 and 11-year-old daughter seeing it. Outside of the shot that Sammy fired in the direction that killed his dog and the one that Harris fired in the direction of the one that killed Sammy, those were the only shots fired by the Weaver family, and they called it a standoff. A man who was actually there said they flew over the house on the seventh day with a helicopter with like he used to fight forest fires with a bucket under it, and it was loaded with gasoline. You could smell it. But they happened to look up the hill on Ruby Ridge, and there happened to be an individual with a VCR taking pictures. So the helicopter flew away. They were going to burn the evidence there. They did cremate the bodies of Sam and his mother without the permission of them. Well, the trial was interesting. The FBI and the other people falsified evidence. It turns out that Harris did not kill the agent that was killed. Another agent shot the agent that was killed. That came out in the court. And a bunch of Keystone cops. If I had a Marine recruit like that, I'd kick their behind. But they just weren't coordinated. A bunch of characters. Well, but so he stood trial by his peers, and they found him innocent of all charges except one. He didn't show up for a court hearing, and he really wasn't guilty of that. I don't think they should have found him guilty of that. And the only reason I can think they found him guilty of that because he'd already been in jail long enough to have already served the time for that, and that was he didn't show up for a court hearing, and they changed the court date without notifying him. So he really shouldn't have found guilty of that. And they asked the jury how they reached their decision. And this was their answer. This is the reason you need a jury. They said, we just placed ourselves in the place of Weaver, that you wake up some morning, you hear your dog barking, somebody shoots your dog, somebody shoots your son, somebody blows the head off your wife. What are you going to do? They never identified themselves. They were trespassing the whole bit. And Spence, the lawyer who was representing them, he presented no defense. He just got up and told the jury. He said murder was committed on Ruby Ridge, but the murderers are not in court and they haven't been charged, and sat down. because the record was very clear. Well, you're going to see more of that. Violation of Article 4, to be safe in your house, your papers, and your records. They weren't safe. Not at all. Well, does the... Yes. Yeah, and even promoted one to up to the second position in the Justice Department. They had to move him back. By the way, they did award Weaver $3.1 million for damages, although they wouldn't admit any culpability. Yeah, I know. Same thing on the Waco thing, and the same thing in Oklahoma. We don't have time to get into that. And the lad that got down there at, that they're holding now, he's just a fall guy, like Oswald was a fall guy in the Kennedy assassination. I'll think of his nickname in a minute, the one that's supposed to have blown it up with a carload of fertilizer, a carload of attack fertilizer, the attack weapons. By the way, some of you really think that they're probably outlawing automatic weapons. I've already said no, automatic weapons are outlawed. 1934, with Al Capone and that group. An automatic weapon is one you pull the trigger and it just keeps shooting until you let the trigger up. They're talking about an assault weapon as any weapon that will fire every time you pull the trigger. Well, that's every piece. It's almost anything you've got. Even your .38 revolver will fire every time you pull it. So they want to keep those terms before you and create all sorts of images, and they're all lies. But that's deliberate. If you tell a lie big enough and often enough, people are right. Well, how's this going to come about? I really do believe that we will see the day, probably before the year 2000, that whoever the president is, unless it just happened to be someone like Patrick Buchanan, will declare a state of national emergency. And the president can do that anytime he wants to on trumped-up type things. He could have declared a national emergency under the L.A. riots and many other things. But they can trigger, they, meaning the conspirators, have a plan to, at one time, about 50 cities will look like they did in 1968. Remember when D.C. and Los Angeles and Detroit and L.A. and all of those were among the 50 cities that they would torch. Then he'll declare a national emergency. And when that is all over, we will have a dictator, and that'll be it. Maybe you don't realize it, but in most of the history of mankind, the majority of the people have been slaves. There are very few brief periods in the history of mankind where the masses were free. And you're not free today. Some of the horror stories that are occurring right now, just awful. Like a young man going down to Florida with $10,000 cash in his pocket, going down to buy shrubbery for New Jersey. He paid for his airline ticket in cash. And the clerk called the people, and they came and took his money away from him. And he still hadn't gotten his money back, although he would prove he's in the business. And another gentleman, a black gentleman, was going to a federal auction, and they want cash. He had $14,000 in cash. They stopped him, took his money, wouldn't believe him. He could prove that he was going. He had the items he was going to buy. And it took him 2 years and $12,000 to get his $14,000 back. And this is happening to innocent people. And they're knocking down doors and going in and killing people just because some prisoner said they were raising marijuana. That's happening in California. No marijuana there. One guy serving a 3-week prison term because he bought some land in New Jersey that had a bunch of automobile tires in it. It's a real old swamp type thing. And without getting permission, he threw the tires out, which was a mosquito bed anyhow, and filled it in with dirt. And he was violating the wetlands type thing. Some spotted rear-end mosquito was threatened. And, now you see, it's sort of like the State Department. The State Department treats all of our friends as enemies and all of our enemies as friends. And your government doesn't have your interest at heart any more than our brother would say that Mandela and that group have their interest at heart in South Africa. And the United States may very well go the route of South Africa. At least that's what they have planned for us. And I lost my train of thought there, but they're on their way toward that objective. And in Quigley's book, he said the United States would have to be reduced through a, I want to quote him right, controlled disintegration was his exact one. And if you were in the industrial areas, you would see that. Well, I want to tell you one thing for sure. What do we do? Well, and we've covered this previously, the Bible has many scriptures that there will be a one-world government, and there are many scriptures saying that that one-world government will fall. Babylon is going to fall. And I can tell you where Babylon is. I think it's in it's in the Mark of the Beast or Mr. 666, but in case you're interested, it's New York City. The words New York add up to 666. So does the word computer adds up to 666, so forth. Well, the only thing you can really do is become knowledgeable. And they say, well, how do you become knowledgeable on such things? Well, I would recommend you subscribe to a little newspaper called Spotlight. It's a very cheap, very informative, and you can get 51 issues. Being a Christian-type organization, they don't publish over what we would call Christmas or New Year's. $38, you can get 51 issues. That's the only place you would find the human rights thing. The number to call, 800-522-6292. And if you got the mark of the beast, call it a credit card. Good. And then a friend of mine, Lieutenant Colonel Archibald Roberts, puts out a bulletin, the Committee for the Restitution of the Constitution. 12 issues, $25. A couple of times he's printed the charts of the conspirators with the news media on it. And 12 issues, $25. Call 303-484-2575. An outstanding publication. Don McElvaney, I know him, he knows me. The Oklahoma City tragedy, he outlines the whole thing. There were at least 5 bombs went off internally in the building. And they know, well, won't get into that. It's a little more expensive, but it's worth it if you're really interested in keeping up. It's the McElvaney Intelligence Advisory, abbreviated MIA, Missing in Action. And for 12 issues, $115. But you actually get more than 12 because he usually has 3 or 4 special issues. 800-528-0559. Outstanding. And he always has a close of scripture on the end, and his sign-off is, and that is the bottom line. And they have many programs to try to get those things off the air. Well, how do you overcome this? You must be led by the Spirit of God. I can't tell you what to do. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. Just that simple. And, of course, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, it's not talking about the heathen, called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then, isn't that interesting, then and only then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. So it's up to you and I. And, as the Bible says, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people mourn. Can you imagine who elected the righteous? It's darn sure it wasn't the wicked. So have you voted? You get the government you deserve, you know. That's it. And if you don't know the Lord, and if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, your chance of making it through as an overcomer is just about zero. And if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, we'll be glad to pray with you and then pray that you receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit as Jesus. You wait here in Jerusalem until you have received the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will have the power to be my witnesses. So you're not going to make it without it as an overcomer. Now then, I want to reassure you, I've read the back of the book, and we do win. I hear that all the time. But if you win, what did you win? What were you doing? If you won, you had to be in a war or something. People come up to me and give me Psalm number 2, Psalm 91.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.